For those of you out there listening, maybe you're someone who doesn't yet own a home, you're renting right now, and you want to get into real estate investing. I can imagine that you're looking at home prices, higher interest rates than we've seen in quite a long time, and you're feeling a bit discouraged. I talk to people who are feeling this way all the time, so don't feel like you're alone in trying to figure out what strategies work. But rest assured, there are strategies that work in today's market. And on this episode, we're going to talk about one of the most reliable strategies that honestly most prospective investors can use to get started, which is house hacking. Welcome to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host today, Dave Meyer. Today, I'm going to have a conversation with Terrence Terrell, and he's a lender, and he specializes in working with a special niche of investors. It's investors who are also first-time homebuyers, because whether you're house hacking or buying your first condo, your first primary residence, every real estate purchase is an investment, and this is really Terrence's sweet spot. And today he's going to give us all a masterclass in everything you need to know if you're considering house hacking, from loan options to common misconceptions that trip up a lot of new investors to the smart house hackers checklist. I think you guys will love this episode if you're just trying to get started. Let's bring on Terrence. Terrence, welcome to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. Thanks for being here.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right, we're going to start with something very basic. Most of our audience has probably heard the term house hacking, but for those who haven't yet, can you give us a brief overview of this strategy?
For sure. So house hacking is essentially someone that buys and owns a home and rents out part of it for income. Whether it's a single family home and they're renting out rooms, couches, basements, attics, whatever that may be, or they're buying a multi-unit property, two, three, four units, and renting out the other units, that's house hacking.
And why is this such a popular strategy, particularly for new investors?
It's the easiest thing to do, you know, because there are so many benefits to house hacking. I mean, obviously, you're buying the home as an owner-occupant. When we're looking at, you know, from a lender perspective, financing, owner-occupied financing is always going to get you the best terms. So if you can do anything with that to reduce your own financial commitment monthly, there's a benefit there. If it's a multi-unit, I can actually use the qualifying income from the other units that you're renting out to help offset. So people actually qualify for more home if they're buying a multi-unit than they would if they were buying a single family, because you have extra income.
I just want to point out to everyone that the reason Terrence has specifically listed duplex, triplex, and quadplex is that is the limit. Four units is the limit to what is considered quote unquote residential financing. Right. Anything above that. So if you go five units or higher, you're going to need to go to a commercial lender or a private lender, something different. And so that's why when we talk about house hacking, most of the time we talk about four units or fewer. In addition to that one benefit of being able to add rental income to your DTI for the two, three, and four units, Terrence, as an investor, What are the other benefits of residential financing? Because this is, and owner-occupied financing, because this is sort of the one way that you can buy multiple units, right? And still get owner-occupied residential financing.
Yeah. So the big benefit there is, like I was talking about a few minutes ago, with the benefits of buying as an owner-occupant. So the main benefit, especially for first-time investors, I mean, everybody's financial situation is different, but it's the initial cash investment. So buying as an owner-occupant, your down payment commitment is a lot lower than it would be if you were buying non-owner-occupant, a straight investment property. So depends on the program, right? So if we're looking at FHA financing, you can put 3.5% down of the purchase price up to four units. If you're doing conventional financing, you can go into, again, up to four units with 5% down. If you're buying a single unit property and you're a first-time home buyer, you can go into it with 3% down. There are programs to where you can even put down 1% on a single unit property. So buying as an owner-occupant, especially for your first property, is a huge benefit. Even if you're considering, okay, I want to become an investor. Buying a property is an investment. I don't care if it's a one-bedroom house, a townhouse, a condo. That's an investment, because you can then think one, two, three steps ahead. What's my plan for this? So when I'm having a conversation with someone that says, I want to be an investor, what do I do? First step, okay, you want to buy a condo, two steps ahead, you want to buy a multi-unit, a single family, whatever it may be. What's our mortgage payment going to be for the condo? What is the market rental income for these condos in this area? Will it cover your mortgage and some when you move out? Does your building allow rentals? Is there a rental cap? You know, these are the things that you want to ask when there's condos. Single family homes, there's no cap, right? But you still want to make sure that the rental income that you're going to get when you move out of it, because again, that's an investment, is going to at least cover the mortgage, because you don't want to be in the red when you move out. That's a bad investment.
That makes sense. So it's advocating for thinking ahead so that I guess there's two strategies, right? One is just making sure that it's a positive, probably a cash flow positive deal if you move out. Mm-hmm. The other one is if you're using an owner occupied strategy for that first deal and you move out and you want to maybe do another owner occupied deal into a duplex, triplex, quadplex, you're going to have to refinance that first deal because you obviously can't get two owner occupied deals at the same time.
Well, not necessarily. You don't have to.
There's a seasoning, right?
Yeah, you don't have to refinance it. So when you're buying an owner-occupied property, your commitment to that property is 1 year.
Okay.
You, at closing, you sign a document that says, I intend to live in this property for 1 year. But if you're going conventional financing and you buy one this year, you can buy another one next year, owner-occupied. You don't have to touch the financing for the first one.
Got it. Okay. And I just want to get back to something that Terrence said earlier, just so everyone knows, is like there are programs right now where you can put 3% down, 5% down, 10% down and buy four units. Like that is one of the most powerful ways to start your investing portfolio out there. It's really why so often when investors are asked, like, what's the best way to get started? You ask a lender, what's the best way to get started? So many people say this because it's really just kind of a little bit of a cheat code because you can put less down, you can get more units. And if you live in a state or a area where cash flow is difficult to come by, one of the cool things about house hacking is you don't actually need to have it be cash flow positive in order for it to be a positive financial decision for you. If you can reduce your housing costs, like imagine you're renting and you're paying $1,500 a month. If through house hacking, you're only paying $200 a month, right? That is $1,300 a month that you're saving, and it's actually after tax money, so it's even better. Mm-hmm. And so you have to think about what kind of financial situation that would put you in. That's not true of everyone. Like for some people, it would still be better to rent, but it just gives you a little bit more flexibility. So I do want to just talk to you a little bit about, Terrence, like who this is good for, because we've been talking about how great house hacking is, but like, is it good for everyone, or what are the types of clients you think do best with house hacking?
Well, I mean, I'm a little bit biased because I've done it for many, many years myself, but I mean, I think it's good for anybody.
Yeah, me too. I did it myself. That's how I got started.
Exactly. And you know, if, like you said, if the numbers make sense to where it's reducing your housing cost or housing expense, or even if it's the exact same as it would be if you're renting, your benefit there is you're owning a home, you're building equity. So there's the win there. But like you say, it's not for everybody. Not everybody wants to be a landlord. Not everybody wants to deal with tenants. That's understandable, right? So if someone is wanting to and willing to be a landlord, or they're used to having roommates, it's a win-win. I don't see any negatives to it if it's someone that is capable and willing to be a landlord.
I think that makes sense. There are certain personality types, right? Where like, if you don't want to live next to your tenants, like I personally don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be. Like I did it for several years, but I understand that if that's something you really don't like, it might not make sense for you. All right. So now that we know what house hacking is and who should consider it, what do you need to know before you go after your first house hack deal? Terrence breaks that down for us right after the break.
You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from ConnectInvest. ConnectInvest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short Notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to connectinvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder Dave Van Horn wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP, but he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today.
Welcome back to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. I'm here with lender Terrence Terrell, and we're walking through everything you need to know before you start that first house hack. So let's just jump back into it. Let's talk about, you know, some common misconceptions that happen with house hacking. Like, where do people get confused during this process?
One of the biggest ones I have when I take phone calls from people is, number one, the down payment. You know, it's that misconception that I have to have 20% down to buy a house, that it's, you know, so expensive, you know, saving for a down payment is so hard. Like we just talked about, there are other options, especially now that Fannie Mae has changed their guidelines back at the end of last year to allow 5% down on 2 to 4 units. That's huge. I mean, you've not needed 20% down to buy a house for quite a while. I mean, it's, you can get into your first home with 3% down. Multi-units is where it gets a little complicated, but the down payment is a huge misconception. The difficulty of being a landlord is a little bit of a misconception. It's not as hard as people make it out to be. Like you said, you've done it before. I've been doing it for years. I have tenants that live above, below, in other units. It's not terrible if you're willing to put in the work. You have to make sure you vet the tenants. People think that, not even just from a house hacking standpoint, from a home buying standpoint, that it's hard, that the financing is hard. It's not, if you have a good lender that's going to make sure that everything that you have is in place, and if it's not, tell you what you need to do to get there. Or that I can house hack and I can make money every single month on every purchase no matter where I am. Like you touched on a little bit ago, there are differences depending on where you are, the market that you're in. I talk to a lot of people, thankfully, through Bigger Pockets, because I've had a presence on the platform for almost 10 years, 12 years now, that when they're listening to podcasts, when they're reading articles, and they're talking about, oh, cash flow positive, I bought a house for $50,000 and I put $10,000 into it and I'm going to sell it for $400,000. Like, that doesn't work everywhere. You know, so I work with, like I said, I'm in Chicago. I do land in multiple states around the country, but, you know, I'm primarily working in a major metropolitan where those numbers aren't necessarily the fact. So we have to kind of back up a little bit and say, okay, if you're looking to buy a multi-unit, on a 2-unit, you're probably going to do what you said, Dave, and you're going to reduce your monthly payment just with a 2-unit. 3-unit, you're probably going to break even. 4 units, where you're going to be cash flow positive. Then you think about the numbers when you're going to move out. So those are the biggest misconceptions that I have to deal with.
Do you find that most clients that come to you fully understand what they're getting into? Are there any things that prospective or potential house buyers should be thinking about before approaching a lender?
Well, to answer your first question, no. A lot of people have no idea what they're getting themselves into.
All right.
You know, they say, okay, I have, you know, X number of dollars to put down on a house. I want to buy a $1 million house. I'm like, okay, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. Let's work backwards into what that needs to look like. Because people know that they need a down payment. What that down payment is, they don't know, but we educate them on what that is. But one thing they're not thinking about is CapEx on a house. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about closing costs on a house. You have to have those. I mean, there are ways for closing costs. There are ways to ask for seller credits to kind of help with those. One question I do get a lot of is, oh, I want to roll in my closing costs. I'm like, well, Technically, that's not a thing. The way that you do it is you get a credit from the seller to then reduce those closing costs. That's how you can get the seller to pay for closing costs. But there are limits. You know, there are limits on how much you can get. With FHA financing, you know, you're capped at 6%, depending on the down payment. Conventional financing, you know, if you're less than 10% down, which most first-time buyers are, you're capped at 3% of the purchase price. But that goes a long way. That can help you almost eliminate your closing costs. So then you can come to the table with just your down payment. But then also, okay, well, what's my CapEx on this place? You know, what am I going to have to put into it? What am I going to have to put into it years to come? This is why you have a home inspection. So you can have a general idea of what that looks like. One thing people don't think about is reserves.
Yep.
Reserves are key. You know, if you're buying a 2-4 unit and we're using conventional financing, 6 months of reserves are your minimum. And what that means is 6 months of your mortgage payment put away. We have to show it. We have to source it. We have to show you have it. It doesn't have to be liquid. It can be 401k. It can be stocks. We just have to show that you have 6 months of reserves.
Yeah. And that just makes sense from a risk mitigation perspective, right? Like everyone needs to be able to weather financial downturns. Like, you know, everyone knows this, life happens and you might face a month where a boiler breaks and then something happens in your personal life, totally unrelated to real estate. You have to have some money in the bank to both literally and figuratively to actually be able to weather those storms. Because as we talk about a lot on the show, real estate works when you hold it over the long run. What stops you from doing that is not properly having reserves to weather these downstorms. That's when some people have to sell at an inopportune time and take a loss. Whereas if you just keep the right amount of reserves, you can hold on as long as you need to make the return that you're looking for.
Right.
So let's talk about qualifying for a house hacking loan. Like for an owner-occupied mortgage for, let's say, a duplex, like what are the main things you as a lender are looking at?
We're going to look at credit score. We're going to look at assets. We need to make sure you have sufficient funds to close. So your down payment, your closing costs, your reserves. We're going to look at your debt to income ratio. This one is huge. So your total monthly debt, because everything we look at from a lending perspective is monthly. So your total monthly debt as a percentage of your gross monthly income. And that is inclusive of your mortgage payment. So if we're looking at a duplex, we're going to look at your gross monthly income plus the rental income that we can get from the other unit. And we can use 75% of that. The appraisal is going to tell us what the market rental income is. We use 75% of that. And we look at your debts. So your minimum monthly payments on your credit cards, your car payments, your student loans, any other monthly debt that you have plus the housing expense. Those are your monthly debts. And we look at that percentage. With conventional financing, most of the time you're capped at somewhere between 47 and 49% of your gross monthly income. We're going to want to see a credit score of at least 640.
Okay.
And then when we're looking at scores, you know, below 700, we may also be looking at FHA financing. Because FHA financing will probably give you better terms of financing. What I say by that is your interest rate and your mortgage insurance. Because when you put down less than 20%, this is lending 101. When you put down less than 20%, you're going to pay private mortgage insurance. So that factor, that mortgage insurance is probably going to be lower with FHA financing. The rate is probably going to be lower with FHA financing if your credit score is a little bit lower. Still a way to get into the property, but it's a different way we can finance it to keep it as favorable for you as possible. So those are the big things we look at. So when I'm qualifying someone and something is off, one of those things don't fit, we figure out a plan so that they can get there.
Got it.
Because there are ways to get there.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So much of it is trade-offs, like you're talking about, like the ways to get there. You know, if you want to put 20% down, great. You're going to probably cash flow better because you're not going to be paying that PMI, that private mortgage insurance. If you put down less, if you have less money saved up, that's also perfectly fine, but you have to understand that that's going to reduce your cash flow a little bit.
Right.
For first-time investors, for people who are just getting started, like you sometimes just need to make trade-offs and you're not going to get the perfect loan. Because just to be perfectly honest, you're not the perfect borrower to the bank, right? Unless you have 20% down. And so you have to just think about that. And that's totally fine, right? Like not your first deal doesn't need to be a home run. a lot of times house hacking can turn into a home run, but even if it's just a, you know, a single, a double, a triple kind of deal, it can really work out for you. And that's why you want to just work with your lender to sort of consider the trade-offs, what your priorities are, what your goals are, and construct the right loan for you given those parameters.
Absolutely. People just have to understand and, okay, well, here's where I am right now. Like you said, I may not be able to buy this right now, but right now I can buy this and still be comfortable and be happy. And then later on, I can upgrade to this when I have more money, more equity, more salary, whatever the situation is.
All right, we do have to take one more quick break, but while we're away, if you have a friend or a family member who wants to get their first property but needs some information, some inspiration, some encouragement to get started, go ahead and send this episode their way. We'll be right back.
We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find a home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours even on the same day with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help you get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today. Take a second and imagine this: immediate cash flow, above-average rent, built-in equity, and a foolproof exit plan. No, it's not 2012 again. This is just what it's like to invest with Integra Development Group. They've simplified the real estate investing process so everyone can invest. With their new construction single-family rent-to-own homes, you'll get aggressively priced, brand new properties that have tenants in place now in one of the fastest-growing states in America, Florida. Here's how IDG's rent-to-own strategy works. You get exclusive access to inventory with aggressive pricing thanks to IDG's builder-partner relationships. Then, invest and collect immediate cash flow with tenants already in place at or very close to closing. With the demand for new builds, your tenants pay above market rent, so you rake in more cash flow. And you'll get built-in equity and appreciation with an already agreed-to purchase price at year 3, helping the tenants become homeowners while you build wealth. That's investing simplified. So secure your next investment property today with Integra Development Group at IntegraDG.com. That's IntegraDG.com to start investing today.
Welcome back, investors. Let's pick back up where we left off. So that sort of brings me to my last question here, which is, you know, you've already given us some advice on how to sort of start thinking one step ahead, two steps ahead. But do you have any thoughts on how house hackers who are looking for their first deal or maybe their second house hack can think strategically right now and set themselves up for lendability, which might be a word I just made up, but lendability in the future?
So it's honestly the exact same things that we go through when qualifying them the first time. So I want to say, okay, well, what is the plan? What do you want to do? When you already own something, like if someone that's looking to buy something in the future that they already own, you want to think about your tax returns, because this is, I mean, this can be a whole new conversation, but I'll kind of shorten it. We're going to look at your tax returns to tell us what your income is on your current property. So depending on the expenses that you have for the property, depending on what the rental is, depending on how many months of vacancy you have, you may not show very well on your tax returns, which is always the fun part. Another fun part when I'm having conversations with people, because they say, oh, I have a really good accountant and I'm writing off all this stuff. And I'm like, great, you're in the red on this property, technically. So that may hurt you for qualifying for your second property. This is only for a multi-unit. Again, I can go on about this all day, but on a single unit property, we can use departing rental income when you're buying another one, which is awesome. So we just have to show that your current home is rented. We have to show that you have received 2 months rent or first month's rent and security deposit. And then we can use, again, a percentage of that to offset your current mortgage. So when you're looking to buy your second property, it's almost like you're starting over again. We don't have to hit you with any additional debt.
Terrence, do you have any final thoughts or final advice for those who want to house hack and how they can just be as prepared as possible for their conversations with their lenders and to be a successful house hacker?
Absolutely. Well, number one is talk to your lender.
It's so true. It's funny because it just seems like people are always like, well, I don't know if I'll qualify. And I'm like, well, did you talk to a lender? And they say, no.
No, exactly.
I'm like, it's free. Just go talk to a lender. They're going to tell you exactly what you need to know. And you'll save so much time knowing what exactly what you qualify for, exactly what your position is. And you could start honing in on the properties that actually work for you.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say make sure that they're talking to a lender that understands investors. There are plenty of great lenders that understand investors on BiggerPockets, on the platform. Same thing with the real estate agent. You want to make sure that you're working with one that knows investing, knows invest in your market, because that's key, because that's going to help you set yourself up for success. It's not just someone that says, okay, yeah, here's what you qualify for. Here's how you can close the deal. It's someone that's thinking about it with an investment mindset. So that's thing number one. And when you're going into that conversation, have the essentials with you. Know what your income is. Know what your assets are. Know what you're willing to spend on the home monthly. Know what you're willing to put down. And then they can help you work into the purchase price so you know what you're doing. There are plenty of people to talk to, just people that have done it, plenty of investors that aren't lenders and realtors that are on the platform, that are on the forums. Have conversations with them. Those that are in your market, you know, go to some of the meetups. Those are key. I go to a bunch of them. It's fun. You know, it's great to just talk to people, because I started investing before I even started lending.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it's just one of those things where there's so much knowledge out there, but you want to make sure that it is specific to you as possible. But step one, talk to a lender, because you don't know what you don't know.
All right. Well, that's just very candid, good advice. I appreciate that.
I do what I can.
And obviously, for anyone listening, if you want to meet a lender, we'll put Terrence's information in the show notes, of course, below. We also have a lender finder on BiggerPockets. If you go to biggerpockets.com/lenders, put in some information there, you can find a lender to talk to. Terrence, thank you so much for joining us. This was a really great, fun conversation. We appreciate it.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
And thank you all for listening. For BiggerPockets, I'm Dave Meyer, and we'll see you soon.
There's a reason small multifamily investing is so popular in the Bigger Pockets community. With just a 3.5% down payment, you can own up to 4 different units. Think about it. If you house hack and live in one of the units, you still have 3 different groups of tenants helping you pay down your mortgage every month. 4 kitchens and bathrooms you could renovate to increase your property value. 4 different Airbnbs, medium-term rentals, or other rental strategies that you can try in one property, all in just one transaction. Of course, the question is, where do you find a small multifamily property that you can actually afford? Which market and which deals are best for you? Once you close, how do you manage it, optimize it, keep scaling, and living your life without being tied down to 4 leaky toilets or 4 fussy tenants? All great questions, my friends. All to be answered in the upcoming Small Multifamily Bootcamp with Chris Lopez and Leka Devatha. So if you're serious about growing your portfolio with this highly efficient strategy, head to biggerpockets.com/4, F-O-U-R, today and join us in the Small Multifamily Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.